What's up, people? This is Garage Media Junkies. Welcome one more time. My name is Hugo Mensa, and in front of me is
Chris Espinoza.
Well, you know, the guy with the sexy voice.
Every time.
Yep. Sorry, but you know, maybe in the 100 we change the nickname. Maybe.
But I've got this one for another what? Oh my gosh.
88
episodes left for this nickname.
Seems daunting, but we're going to get there. For you people listen this thing, we appreciate the, you know, I'm not counting that you hear all the episodes. I probably can, you know, stand here myself for an hour. And if you count it, it's like 12 hours. That's a lot of my voice recorder.
Right.
So, first of all, we want to apologize for the episode 11. We have a little technical issue. It's the first time, actually.
Just a small one.
I mean, our guest microphone wasn't working real well. You still can hear big part of the interview, but it's not as, you know, the best. Seems like he's in a Skype.
Like on a call, Skype call, yeah.
But we're going to get it back in another episode so he can definitely have his nice spotlight here in the Garage Media Junkies.
We'll do him right.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing, please leave reviews. That's really, really helpful. I mean, it's not like we're going to make a ton of money if you give a review, but it feels nice and it's good to know you people if you're here and, you know, have feedback about, you know, if this is somehow worth it for you, I guess. Well,
yeah, and you know, and that lets us know too that you're enjoying it. For those that write on Facebook, we always check. We'll answer you back. We love to interact with all of you.
Yep.
So again, just leave us a review when you can, or write on our Facebook page.
There you go. In this episode number 12, of course, we're not gonna have any funny noises for this one. Maybe in the 20. And we're going to talk a little bit of movies. We're going to come back in the topic of movies, you know, what happened in February. We try to, you know, be on track, but it's really hard. One is budget issue.
Oh, yeah.
It's really hard to go all the movies. I mean, we do this because we love it. We're not like a journalist or somebody dedicated to fully critique these movies, you know, like we don't have the time. Chris has a job, I have a job, and we have our families.
Right.
It's really, yeah, once you start thinking like, oh yeah, I'm gonna keep track and I'm gonna review all these movies, like no, that's a pretty daunting task. So
it's a huge, especially for something like a hobby, because this isn't our job at all.
Who knows later, but so far no, this is just for fun, and that's the reason we do it.
Right.
For our sanity.
Right, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're going to talk a little bit of what happened in February. A few movies. Really interesting ones. I'm so mad still that I didn't go to watch John Wick yet.
Oh, but I have.
Yeah, Chris has tons of stuff to talk about.
I mean, I was lucky enough that that was my Valentine's Day present
from
my wife. She took me to go see John Wick too.
So, in the trailer... lived to the expectation of the movie.
It did.
Yep.
It did, and so much more. Now, a lot of people like to ask, you know, which one's better, first or second one, and I think it's a huge compliment for, you know, because my wife asked, I like it just as much as the first one.
There you go.
And that's all I could really hope for with the John Wick movie. It's not that those movies are ever trying to get some hidden agenda worked in. There's nothing past surface level, but it's so much fun watching these movies. This one was just as enjoyable as the first one, if not more, because it kind of fills out the world.
Yeah, I'm feeling like now we have John Wick. I think last year was Deadpool. And if, you know, in a few more, it's coming Logan, which we're going to talk a little bit more later. But, you know, it seems like the topic is violence. But, and some people may say, you know, oh, violence and they will critique that part, but if I feel like these movies are filling that gap, which is, I understand it can be a concern for a parent, but they have really clear what's their audience, you know,
right,
where it's going, these movies. And for so long, like, again, I'm gonna be that guy. you know, hero movies are really in a really safe and comfort position that you don't see. I mean, the first Iron Man, it was cool, or the Spider-Man, you know, when the all the superhero movies started, it was really great. But then that's a lot of the focus on those franchises, like Harry Potter, stuff like that, mm-hmm. which is fine. I enjoy a few. But then you feel like, I was feeling like I missed those movies, action movies, where it's violence, and you go and just enjoy it because, you know, it's, and it's particularly this movie. I didn't watch it yet, but just watching the trailer, I know like how much, you know, preparation, and I know the Keanu Reeves, like he's a lot of the videos, you know, they're famous now, yep. with his training and choreographing. So, I mean, I feel like it's feeling, those, these movies slowly are filling those gaps and are being successful because being absent for a long time.
I think what Deadpool proved was that there's a market
yeah.
for a hyper-violent audience.
Yeah.
And again, like what Hugo was saying, we know that it's violent and out there, and some people are really going to just hate on it for that, yeah. which I fully support, because violence for the sake of violence isn't right. entertaining. It's not. And but when you do it really well, when you have these highly choreographed, I mean, they can be gory, but they're highly choreographed and stylized to the point where you actually are. I my wife will talk about this, but yeah. I audibly gasped in the theater yeah. with some of the moves that he was doing and some of the, I guess, fatalities that he was performing, because they pretty were just so incredibly creative.
You feel it. You're like, oh, man, that probably hurts a lot.
And it was all fluid. And I think that's why it got me to gasp, too, because it was very fluid. It didn't feel forced, or that it was like, yeah, yeah. this is my focal point of what the whole entire scene yeah. set up. It just happened so quickly.
Yeah.
And it just, it took my breath away, which was great, because it's been so long since the movie is. It's actually been since Deadpool that yeah, something yeah. like that has happened to where I, it surprised me.
Yeah, I feel like that with the movies, The Raid. I don't know if you watch it. It's an Indonesian production. But it's called like that, The Raid and The yeah. Raid 2. And I get kind of like the feeling like that. They're violent, but they're really highly choreographed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the two protagonists were in the Star Wars Episode 7, Little yep. Parents with the hand, you know, Han Solo. And yeah, those movies, like, you know, the bar was super high. And I think John Wick is at that same level, the choreograph. The fact that Keanu, like, he don't need it to do it. He easily can get a double or have, you know, edit this way so I'm not going to be in danger and I don't need to put this much effort. That was a dedication, yeah.
There were some shots in that movie where he does these flips and he gets thrown around the room and the camera yeah. doesn't cut away.
Yeah.
And he gets right back up and you know for a fact that it's not a double. Yeah. And there's one scene, he got tossed down the stairs and he just rolls and the camera doesn't cut away. They roll right. around. Like three flights of stairs and he gets up yeah. and it's clearly Keanu Reeves' face and you think, man, they either had to do that in one really good clean take yeah. or his body is absolutely yeah. bruised. But again, the movie was great. It delivered on all aspects. A wonderful movie
yep.
for if you kind of want something adrenaline pumping.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, if you miss, maybe I can compare with a lot of the Asian action movies. I can think of Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, with their own, Jackie Chan always went for the a little bit of the comic side, but, you know, that part of the craft behind all these movies. So I think it's a must.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to try to go to the movie theater. It's one of those movies that you need to go to the movie theater to watch.
Oh, yeah. And it was packed. Yeah. It was packed too, which I was surprised about.
I think this is just the number one when it was just a big surprise.
Yeah. And again, and it's not like John Wick, the first one, did very well in theaters.
Yeah.
I think it caught traction yeah. after it was done, which is great because that's when yeah. I caught it.
Yeah, me
so
too.
I am super glad I saw this one in theaters.
All right. Some of the other movies, Rings, which, what, it's like some years after. I mean, I watched the first one, I think, and have a vague memory, and the other was totally like, nah, I don't care.
Okay, so spoilers and, coming in for just the regular Two Rings. There's a yeah. scary tape that goes around. If you right. watch it, you're going to die in 7 days. And the only way that you don't is if you get somebody else to watch it and get them to copy the tape and then for them to show them, like somebody else. That's how you can get rid of the curse. But it's all because of this one girl who was drowned in a well. And that's about it.
Yeah, and I guess now somebody else find the tape?
It's a viral video now. Oh. It's kind of been updated for a more modern audience because, you know, VHS tapes don't really get passed around. How killer is a, you know, VHS tape nowadays? Nobody has any kind of VCR to play it on.
I've been there a few. It's really
well, then they deserve to be haunted.
Probably. But anyways, I mean, I didn't caught my attention. I don't care. Whatever.
What kind of horror film? And again, what kind of horror film comes out in February?
Yeah.
That's when I want horror. Yeah. February. Probably. Not around Halloween.
Especially the Valentine's weekend. I don't think so. I mean, a horror, like... horror movie can be 50 Shades of Grey. That thing is like a horror, but you know, like it's crap.
Well, I guess speaking of 50 Shades of Grey, that's the other one that came out this month right alongside John Wick too.
Oh, well, actually 50 Shades Darker.
Darker.
Yeah, I don't know how you can go more go black after gray, but yeah, whatever. Yeah, I mean, we're gonna skip. I mean, I don't have nothing to tell about that movie at all besides you want to have a kink experience with your wife in the movie theater? Well, I guess you can use the movie like that, but there are better production adult movies out there. So just go for this instead of this one.
Oh my God, I just got what you said. I'm like, wait, what? There he is, folks, dropping another one on you.
We don't judge anybody. You know? I'm not going to be like the innocent person. Like, I don't know those.
You know, I think I heard that from one reviewer that they were saying that if that's your thing, they have a special version of that that's it's called adult film, and if you really want to go see it, then watch it from your home
or watch both, who cares.
That's your money. That's right.
We have also The Comedian with Robert De Niro, which I don't know a lot of that movie. It's supposed to be him back in track of a good role, because we need to admit, as much as I admired Robert De Niro career, the last 15 years at least are being all those like comedy family oriented movies where he don't shine that much. I mean, I can't think of a good movie in the last 15 years at least.
The last Robert De Niro movie that I really liked was
Don't Tell Me The Fuckers.
It was The Fuckers.
Really?
I actually enjoy the movies. I mean, they're nothing that's excellent or big. They're not going down in film history, but I remember going to see him and I laughed a lot more than I ever thought I would in one of those movies. And Meet the Fockers was excellent. Meet the Parents was a great representation of how awkward it is to meet your significant other spouses.
Believe me. I always feel like I'm
You probably had the most culture shock when it came to meeting.
It wasn't that hard. I can't complain about my in-laws, to be honest. I had worse than with other girlfriends, but yeah.
I mean, and again, none of them was Robert De Niro.
Thank God. I will be like, yes, sir. No, sir. But yeah, that's, I mean, The Comedian, I imagine there's some comedy in there. I don't know. But just go and research. We're not experts.
Right.
I'm not your Negro. I don't know nothing about that one.
Oh, my God.
So you could, I mean, you can have an idea of the title.
Yeah, that movie. I have no idea. The only other big one that came out was The Great Wall.
The Great Wall, and that was the next one with, which I'm hearing mixed, you know, thoughts about the movie.
The most buzz I hear about it is more for what it stands for versus what it is.
Yeah.
The cinematography on it, they say that the colors, the way things are staged, is beautiful and it's wonderful, and it's putting that China. Yeah, it's putting China's production company on the map, and their directors and their actors, which is what it stands for. Everybody's loving that aspect.
Yeah.
The story aspect, they say, is kind of throwaway.
And I that was my feeling when I watched the trailer. First, it's kind of off. I mean, again, I'm going to make it really, you know, it's controversial with Matt Damon in there, whatever. We know why. We already discussed it before. It's just money. They need to sell the movie, period. Yeah. But it's off because they're trying to sell us the biggest movie budget in China, and then you have Matt Damon in your face.
Right.
So it's kind of awkward for me, just from that standpoint. It doesn't surprise me, this cinematographer, this director, also made Hero with Jet Li. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy and love that movie so much. But I think it's that kind of position where you're trying to, you know, just go into the next step, compete with Hollywood. And I feel they're not quite yet there, but it's a good first try.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Right. It's not going to bomb by any means, but it definitely doesn't raise the bar at all. It doesn't...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't give you any more than, you know...
What you already have, right, which is what Hollywood is saturated with. Yeah. So for them, it's great and it's wonderful. Yeah. But...
I mean, again, the premise is nice. I'm glad it's a kind of like a fresh idea, you know, putting this amazing creation of architecture on this position where, you know, mysticism and creatures and stuff.
Right.
It's a good, you know, it's a good fresh idea, but I think the execution wasn't the best. But again, I really appreciate the effort and... at least try to push a little bit on, you know, the type of movies.
Again, going by what most reviewers are saying, it's good for what it stands for, not for what it is. Yeah.
All right. The other one that I'm excited is A Cure for Wellness. This is a director, I think it's Sweden. I'm not sure. Yeah. Again.
Yeah, he's Swedish.
So, you know, for all people out there, this movie's weird. It doesn't surprise me, but... and just I'm saying that because, you know... I don't know if Sweden is part of the Scandinavian area. I think so, right? You know,
yeah.
Denmark.
Yeah.
So those directors tend to have really either artistic and kind of twist and a different perception of the world, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, we're from different places. They tend to be a little bit pessimist. I can think of Saranowski. Who did... Infomaniac, I forget his name. Dang it, so bad. But you know, directors.
Oh yeah,
Nymphomaniac.
Was it Aronofsky?
Think so.
I'm gonna do some research real quick. Keep talking.
Yeah. What's this other guy? Refn, Nicholas Winton Refn. Also, their movies is really kind of artistic, stylish. I'm trying to think somebody else. But, you know, like, these directors from that area tend to have a really particular visuals and topics to manage around. So, you know, this movie is not the exception. You know, pretty much the premise is this guy working in this big company is sent to find a boss because apparently went to a wellness place. Lars von Trier, yeah. He did Antichrist, too. The Antichrist.
Yes, he did.
So, now you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Aronofsky is third. Yeah, it's same area, but it's different.
But Lars is a Danish film director.
There you go. So, Cure for Wellness again. This guy go to save his boss from the company. This guy went to a
like a rehab center,
something like that. And then you know everything started going really weird. It just has a vibe of Shutter Island a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely the vibe I got from watching the trailer.
And I think it's gonna be more weird and crazy than Shutter Island, but I mean you can give you an idea of what you can expect from that movie.
Shutter Island was pretty straightforward until the end, when things started unraveling. This seems like it goes sideways from the moment he gets to the rehab place. So
I'm really interested and I want to see it, mostly because, you know, it's kind of like a, like we say, it looks like Shutter Island, doesn't mean it's going to be just like that, and just a, you know, some refreshness after all the we have.
There's a lot of buzz around it too, so this is a good one to go see if you don't want it to get spoiled on social media or even for the movie's description. You know, when you go read about it on Redbox to give it away, sometimes they do that.
And it's a beautiful shot. All the shots, I see the whole trailer and I was like, oh my god, so gorgeous. So that's another one. If you care about that stuff, yeah, it's a good one. And the last one we're going to talk, it's a hard way to describe it. It's kind of like a few short films put it together in a length movie. It's Double X.
And, Double X.
The interesting part of this movie, and it is getting buzzed, but more because all the directors are females.
Hmm.
And they're like, they're, you know, quote unquote, you know, from reviewers and people that, you know, these are like the next big deal, you know, directors. And, you know, they're females. They put together. They decide to, like, let's do it this way. We love each other work, and it's horror films. That's the interesting part.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The trailer looks really interesting. I may watch it. I'm not really into horror these days, but just that premise. I mean, it's really hard to put together a name, female name, especially in the Hollywood industry. Slowly they're racing, but the fact that these girls get together and let's push, actually let's do something to prove that the girls can also make movies is so great. And, you know, in a genre that's not as easy as horror. Especially with all, we talk Rings and all these kind of redoing, and they try to make a fresh idea.
No, and you have to respect that. Horror is a very, very hard genre to crack. Either you take yourself too seriously and nobody takes you seriously, or you make it too light and it's not enough.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I agree. So, again, hats off to them for even trying.
Yeah, and I... If, you know, that's what they're praising, that they're in the next big directors, then definitely should be in your radar, right?
Yeah.
So that's for February. You have a few options. I know it's almost like the last week, but you can wait for the streaming service or rent it, Redbox, whatever. But if you didn't watch it on the big, screen, you definitely can see it at home. Also, we're going to watch March movies.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just what we think is either the most interesting or the most, you know, weighted movies for March. And I think we can start with the biggest one, at least for me. I don't know you, Chris, but Logan, it got my attention a lot. Yet I'm just waiting for that movie.
Logan is definitely at the top of my list, especially since it's, what, out on the 3rd? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Nintendo Switch.
Oh my god. Oh, the Switch. No, yeah. I will be at Logan. No, I'm super excited for Logan. Logan is the final standalone X-Men film with Wolverine.
At least with Hugh Jackman. I mean,
right.
Doesn't get crazy that they think like, oh yeah, the timeline is messed up and Wolverine come back and it's maybe another actor. But at least with Hugh Jackman.
But yeah, this will round out his trilogy of X-Men Origins. And then you have just the Wolverine, and now we have Logan, which I think is kind of nice that it goes from his actual name to end it all. I think this will be a very character-driven piece instead of action, which is fine because it looks like the action we do get, as this is the first X-Men film to be rated R, taking its cues from Deadpool. I think
we're really going to get that.
Right, because X-Men, they would always say, is... one of Fox's biggest cash cows because it's so not family friendly, but PG-13. Yeah. You can take the whole family to go see it. This R, it's a hard R. Language, violence.
It's just so
the good stuff.
Gruesome and depressing watching the trailer. Especially with that Johnny Cash song.
The Johnny Cash song was very, very moving.
And even you see like a really vulnerable and weak and tired. I think that's the key word.
Because it's the old man Logan. But I guess that's the point where you never think of Wolverine as vulnerable, tired, because he's literally the man that can heal himself.
Yeah.
He stays young for years.
He's a nonstop beast all the time.
The premise of this one is something's happening to all the mutants and they're dying off. And so whatever it is affecting his ability to heal. And if you guys don't know, most of you do if you listen to us, every time he pulls out his claws, that has to cut through his skin. It usually doesn't bother him. Because he can heal. Right. Now every time he uses them, it's like knives coming out of his hands and he feels it. It doesn't heal when he retracts them. So there's a lot of pain going on every time he has to fight.
It's supposed to heal, but super slow. Like not as, you know, used to be. So it's pretty much every time he tried to actually use one of his biggest assets, it's hurting himself. You know, it's hurting himself.
And that's the other thing about Logan. He's pretty, when it comes time to fight, he's kind of reckless because he can get hurt and he can be okay. Now he's got to be a little bit more cautious, which is, again, something you don't think about when you think of Wolverine.
Right.
So I feel like this is going to be a real character-driven one. We're not going to have these big set pieces big explosions. It's going to be more heartfelt.
It feels like a little Western, as some elements there.
Yeah.
We have the good guy, which is obviously Wolverine. We have the bad guy that's trying to catch
the girl,
which is, you know, in the old Western, always was either money or some big catch needing to get, you know. Yeah. That was a characteristic, and I think it's translated to this one. On the girl, you know, the girl seems a big part, and that's going to unleash more movies, I guess. We don't know yet, but yeah, again, that's what it seems like.
The whole franchise is up in air right now.
Yep.
I even heard that this is supposed to be even a third timeline, is what this movie's supposed to take place in. And that
they even have the comic. It's a scene where you're like, oh, this is how they portray us. This is bullshit. And they throw the comic, which I thought it was kind of cool that they did that.
Right. Now, again, this could still be on the any timeline that they have where... Because enough time has passed. We don't actually know how much time has passed, but enough time has passed so that they could have made comics about the X-Men in between the films. But they're saying that this is a alternative timeline where...
No surprise there.
Yeah, which more mishandling. But most of the reviews coming back from this early are generally positive. I think last I checked on Rotten Tomatoes, it was like a 91 or 93%.
And normally I don't... put a lot of attention to those ratings, but there are a few exceptions.
Yeah.
You know, you can distinguish when people are actually enjoying the movie. And just for based on, the, like you're saying, the ratings, but also even before with the trailer, a lot of people just get hooked right away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a, I think it's a must. Especially, I grew up watching the cartoons
and the all Fox, this stuff. Yeah.
They were so good. And, we're talking earlier, it's just how funny how things worked. So then now I can't picture anything anybody else acting in Wolverine, you know, besides Hugh Jackman. He just did a great job.
Again, a happy accident. Mm-hmm. Wasn't supposed to be. Wolverine had to come in at the last moment. He was a, you said, a stage performer acting on, you know, coming straight out of Australia. It's his first really big break. Was a character he didn't really know, but I mean, I gotta give props to him. He kind of embraced it and the fandom that comes with it.
Yeah.
And honestly, I can't think of another superhero that the community has accepted wholeheartedly, and he's accepted, and that when you think of that character, you think of Hugh Jackman.
Now they're linked for a long time. I mean, I think they're going to need to rest the character for a couple of years before they, you know, planning to put it again in another movie.
Right.
And again, I can't think, I mean, Tom Hardy, but even still, like, it's really hard. I don't see somebody else. And even Hugh Jackman is really charming. He's, you know, even real life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know him, but a few interviews and here and there that you see videos, he's pretty chill guy and cool.
Yeah. Very open.
There you go. So that's for sure for March. We have also Kong, which we talk in the... It was podcast number two?
Yeah, it was podcast number two we talked about Kong.
Now we can go... You know, back in time.
This is kind of cool. Reference podcast number two.
There you go. And I think we agreed that we were excited. And just because we fantasized a little bit with the idea of hopefully in the future, you know, a crossover with Godzilla, which there are a few hints here and there.
Yeah.
Especially with the size of Kong. It's just massive.
Right. This is the biggest we've ever seen King Kong.
Yep. I don't like that they... throw a lot of stuff in the trailers, like the, you know, big laser things or whatever.
Yeah, I would have rather found that out in the movie, but that, again, that goes along with all of our gripes from episode two, where they show way too much of this trailer. But on the flip side, I kind of liked everything that I saw, so nothing turned me off from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's Sam Jackson there. What's this?
John Goodman.
Goodman is in there, so it has a really solid cast.
Tom Hiddleston.
And it has that, like, 70s vibe, you know, with Vietnam vibe thing.
It reminded me a lot, especially when it was starting, of the 1970s King Kong with Jeff Bridges.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. Yeah. But obviously with way better graphics.
Yeah, way better. But anyways, that's the other big one. We have more, Chris, I think.
Yeah, the other one, we're gonna scoot past it because everybody's going to go see it. It's Beauty and the Beast. The live action.
I don't have much to say about it. I mean, everybody was praising, like, oh my God, this, you know, the one of the biggest cartoon or animated movies coming to life and all this graphic power, and it's going to look amazing. And once I watched it, like, it didn't surprise me at all.
Here's the reason why. It is almost shot for shot, at least from what the trailers are telling us, exactly like the animated. Mm. Now, Cinderella, Maleficent. My wife is going to get angry if I don't pronounce that correctly. They at least put a unique twist Maleficent more than Cinderella, but it put a unique twist on telling a new story and from a new perspective. So everybody really enjoyed it. Even the things like Jungle Book took a different perspective than what the cartoon was. I feel like this is going to be exact from the. We even have songs from the original animated movie. Every single one of them, plus new ones. I don't know. Even if you're a big fan, you'll come out of it liking it. But if somebody wants something more, like most of your audience, you're going to be really disappointed. And I was even more disappointed with the Beast's CGI.
That, yeah, that's the whole thing. I mean, I think they brag a lot about it. Like, yeah, the CGI. You know, oh my God, we're going to get the little clock and the candle is going to be alive. And finally, and you know, it looks fine, but... You know, we're seeing far better movies
with
you know, that budget and, you know, all the CGI. And also her
money. So you're Emma Watson.
Emma Watson, for me, it's kind of off as seeing Belle? Her in there. I don't know why.
You're
it's
right.
It's weird. It's not nothing, you know, related to Harry Potter. It's just her persona. Like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like she don't fit in the whole thing.
I think what they were going for was somebody that was intelligent. Yeah. Like Belle, I think that's what they took from the characteristics, and they wanted somebody who could portray that book smartness. So Emma Watson does, but you're right. I feel she denied herself a few Disney princesses before because she was waiting for something like this. What everybody was saying that they'd rather see her as was the Little Mermaid.
Maybe. Still, I feel like maybe it's my thing of mine, but it seems like she's off. The other part is Luke Evans is in there too, and kind of disappoint me.
Gaston.
Kind of disappoint me because this guy, I know he has a big range for acting. I feel like he's been like not precisely bad movies, but I mean, I enjoyed him in Dracula and Last Untold and Dracula Untold.
Yeah.
Then he went to Fast Furious, which is like an easy paycheck, you know, you don't need to do. And he was actually the highlight of the movie. It was so much him, you know, being decent and all the other guys looks like amateurs. He's so good at acting in that movie. And then this, I just want to see him in more interesting roles. But let's see
what his thought process was. Everybody's going to forget Dracula. Everybody's going to forget Fast and Furious. When you want to immortalize yourself, you go Disney.
I think nobody's going to remember this movie so far. How I'm seeing it is...
I don't know. I think it'll do quite well at the box office. Yeah. I just don't.
It's not going to be as, you know.
No, there's going to be no staying power. It'll be like the Cinderella or the Jungle Book. It'll be really great, but it won't be a Maleficent where people are talking about it because of the subtext in there and what else you could pull from it. And then it's what, new.
You know, Angelina Jolie did with the character, too.
Who we now know used to be Hugo's Ghost Crush.
There you go. What's the last one? I think I feel like we talk about another one. Oh, Life and Gaston Shell. So, Life. I'm excited of Life. It's Ryan Reynolds and some other guys. But it's a good, really... Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal.
And the premise looks really great. It's like a little bit of the Alien
vibe. It's like a space horror. Mm-hmm. You're trapped up there and they create this new particle of life. And it somehow starts, I guess the best word for it is like kind of like a symbiote where it attaches itself to them and it slowly spreads like a sickness. So they have to start isolating their crew members.
Yeah.
And you're in space. Where are you going to go?
Yeah, exactly. And just seeing like, I think it's a scene where Ryan Reynolds, these guys want to like, let me go out. And it's like, you know that person, but it's just part of your team or whatever. But also your job is, you know, to maintain the
safety,
humanity, and everything. So it definitely is going to be super tense. And I think the best way I can describe it will be if Alien crossed with The Thing, Carpenter.
Yeah.
So I think that I like the idea of, you know, mixing those universe.
I think it's striking the right chord too, as far as theme and pacing. So that's one to watch for, definitely. It's either going to be huge, or it'll get big when it comes out on DVD. It's definitely going to be a big one.
And the last for next month is Ghost in the Shell. We already talked about all the controversy, blah, blah. So past that, I want to watch it, I think. I'm not sure if I'm going to go to the movies. And I'm just going to go and watch it mainly for the visuals. I know I tend to not go a movie for that, but sometimes it's fine just to have a beautiful movie. Because besides, you know, if it's successful, or if you know, Scarlett Johansson is the main character, even it's supposed to be Asian or whatever, you put right. all those aside, just watching the trailer looks just gorgeous. They capture really well the anime a lot.
Right, and I think for me, it's visually different than most of the films we have out there now.
Yeah.
I feel creatively, this is the most, I guess, visually striking film since, again, you can hate it or not,
yeah.
since The Matrix, mm. where you watch a commercial for it and you're like, this looks, because it showed all the cool, yeah. I guess, technological leaps that it was making, like the bullet time and the right. explosion and stuff, but it put it in the trailers, so you watched it and you were like, oh my god, mm-hmm. I don't quite understand this, but it looks amazing. Yeah. That's how I kind of felt watching the Ghost in the Shell trailer.
Totally. So. And for those, you know, listening, if you don't know, Matrix, you know, not the, entirely the movie, but the directors, the Wachowski, they're big fans of Ghost in the Shell, so
right. you can, oh my you god, can
understand
yeah.
why
full circle.
Like some parts, or you understand visually why you can link it, you know, like, yeah, I can totally go. See. Like, especially that scene where it's Scarlett Johansson going through the window, break the window, and then start shooting. Walking yeah. in the wall and shooting. It's totally that last scene in the Matrix.
You the know? Elevator, the whole, like, lobby shootout, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, if you hate it because the controversy of whitewashing, it's totally understandable. But if you put that aside, I think everybody's going to have a good time. It seems like so far they take care of, definitely they take care of the visuals. They really put a lot of effort. And I think the main topic of the original anime is respected too. It's there are little twists, but I think the main idea is just there, and that's great. You know,
yeah.
Like you say, instead of doing Beauty of the Beast step by step, just take, you know, what make those movies or animes great, and just, you know, do a new take, but first, you know, respect what it makes.
Respect the original yeah. content. Yeah. No, and again, I just hope that audiences are pretty accepting and at least are curious enough to go watch.
Yeah, like you say, if you don't want to go to movies, let's just wait for home.
Yeah. Support it in another way.
Yep.
But I'd be remiss if we moved on without talking. Hugo was like, no, we didn't talk about Power Rangers, which is also coming out.
There you go. Sorry, I was almost like breaking Chris' heart, but no, we're gonna talk about the Power Rangers.
Oh, sweet, sweet Power Rangers.
Which you already watched the whole, all the trailers.
All three I of bet them. You.
Yeah. For yeah. those out there, if you wanna win Chris' heart, send a lot of Power Rangers gifts. We're gonna put his address on the Facebook.
Oh my god.
Like, actually right now I'm watching a few stuff that he has, collectibles and stuff.
Yeah,
but I'm not a big fan anymore. I mean, I still have a special part.
It's on nostalgic me and, yeah. yeah,
but when I was a kid, it was like, damn, that was the big thing after Ninja Turtles, because Ninja Turtles was before, right?
Yeah.
At least for me, it was Ninja Turtles and then
oh, boom, yeah, that's,
Power Rangers.
That's exactly how my childhood was. Ninja Turtles, then Power Rangers took over.
So I'm curious to see what's going to happen with the movie. I'm have like a mixed feeling of the seeing the trailers.
I guess.
I don't know what's going to happen. I mean,
look at me eating my own words as I'm here talking like, hey, take some liberties, change some stuff. And yeah. then they change stuff on Power Rangers. And I'm like, no, what are you doing? Ah. And I think for me, being a huge fan and knowing so much about it, yeah. I think there are so many things that I want to see. And I have an unrealistic expectation. I just want to go in there and just be reminded how fun it is to have to watch the team have teamwork and realize that they have this power. I don't want it to be dialed in. I know Power Rangers is cheesy and this is the yeah. biggest facelift the series has ever had, but there are times when I look at those suits and it makes me cringe. I don't yeah. know about anybody else. I don't know. They make them look really alien, which is fine, but to me they come off more Iron Man than anything.
Yeah, I think it's a mix of Iron Man and Master Chief and Halo kind of thing.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or more. No, yeah. reminds me a little bit kind of like that. But again, you know, because they're going to that whole thing of aliens kind of thing and universe.
Right.
You
know, which, I mean, was always present. Sense,
but I can see why you will be like, oh, why?
You know, you have suits that are very iconic, yeah. You know, and then when you change them, that's fine. But I don't know. There's something about it when I look at it. It's just, it's off.
You know what? And especially because I think I told you that somebody did an unofficial short film.
Yeah.
That was kind of violent and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I think the only one is the Black Ranger. They show the whole, and that was fine. I like
again,
it.
It wasn't changed.
Super big change. I mean, they did it more mature kind of looking.
Right.
But they looked super great. I think I like it more than the ones in the movie.
And I was a little bit more accepting of that. I was super critical of it. There were parts of it that I did not like. There were parts of it that I absolutely loved, like the trauma that kids face. If really you were brought into an alien war, it's not all peaches and creams where we go to the juice bar afterwards. They were mentally scarred from this whole endeavor, and Rita was a horrible space witch. Great. I would love that. But you're right. With all what we get, it just, I don't know, something's not sitting right. When I see the trailers, the Zords, obviously very computer-generated, which, again, you're not going to have it any other way, but I don't...
I think that's the part I'm more excited, because every time I watch Power Rangers, every time they assemble and they rob on... come on, that looks so fake for me, at least for me.
Because, again, all it was the toys.
It was like two persons like in a market, like a... little room probably that they'd build this fake city, little fake city.
Yeah.
It was really obvious.
The monster battles are horrible. Yeah. I have no right to talk. I will admit that on here. I have no right to talk to say like, no, it doesn't look cool enough when really the Power Rangers, I remember, they're just two men fighting in rubber suits and plastic.
Yep.
But I don't know. I feel like it deserves something even better than what it has, which is very, very wrong of me to say. And here's the thing. In all reality, I want the parts with them out of the suits to mean more than them in the suits. Because in the suits, you're always going to have action and stuff, but that's not what's going to make me remember a film. It's all of them and their interactions. So if that's at least done well, I think it can get picked up for a sec, because I know they have 7 planned.
Wow, that's a big ambitious project.
And I know that they're kind of on the right track, because I think when we went to see Rogue One, there was a preview for Power Rangers, and the guy behind us was like, oh, that looked good, until I saw it was Power Rangers.
Yeah.
So that let me know that even casual people liked it when they didn't have their suits. They were enjoying whatever story they were building.
Yeah.
So, I mean, more power to them, no pun intended.
It reminded me of that scene, what was that movie, The Breakfast Club or whatever, that they introduced like the bad guy,
so
smart guy and whatever.
In the original one, all the kids are pretty popular except for Billy.
Right.
But in this one, it seems that they're all kind of social misfits in their own way, which is fine. Yeah. It definitely took a Breakfast Club / Twilight approach.
I think what will bother me a lot going to see that movie will be if they take it really serious, because the show never was intended to be super serious. You know, it was just.
But just like the remake, the bootlegged remake, the darker one, that took itself super serious. But I get what you're saying, that for this, they wanted it to be serious, but from what I see in the trailers, it's got a healthy dose of comedy, a lot of quips, a lot of jokes. So I don't, and then when you see Alpha 5,
I think that's the weakest part. Because even Sword, I can understand the new kind of look that he has.
And I have the same... I agree with you, but when you look back at the series as a whole, Alpha 5 is still the weakest point, even in the original.
Well,
it's a smaller person in a robot, in a really bad robot suit.
Yeah.
But... But again, we're going to cut it off there for March movies.
So, we have those. You have definitely a... And I mean, it's more, but this is the one that kind of caught our interest in, and we think they're the most, valuable in so many ways.
Like,
In a filmic way, and enjoyment, and Bob Entertainment. But then we have new trailers. There's just a few. We have King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, this new story with Guy Ritchie, more action-based, oriented movie. I like so far what I watched. They're a solid cast. But it's more like action kind of fast-paced action. Not John Wick level. I don't think.
But it's definitely not the King Arthur of old, which is very slow, and it builds to...
I guess some ghost.
The cat. Yeah. No, but where it slowly builds to him, you know, having the sword and building his round table. This, this seems to be driven by it's purpose.
Kind of like, you know, let's put some more testosterone to the story.
Right.
But, I mean, it seems interesting if you like action. And Guy Ritchie's not, like, the best director, but he's a solid director. He has a few cool movies. Snatch. That's probably the one that everybody remember.
But I enjoy. He's very stylized in his filming. So whatever he does do, I know it's Guy Ritchie. So
yeah, there you go. The next one is Colossal. With, what's her name?
Anne Hathaway. Anne
Hathaway. So I don't have a lot of info. Do you have a little bit more insight?
This it's movie just, is so confusing. I remember watching it because it was on a thumb for, you know, recommended, and it was just this giant monster.
Right.
So I was like, cool, a new monster movie. Clicked it. Apparently, there's this monster that's terrorizing. I'm not entirely sure which city it's terrorizing. It's somewhere in Asia.
Just think of Tokyo or like New York.
It could be Korea. I don't remember.
Yeah, whatever. Those big cities.
And it's terrorizing. And then this woman wakes up and is apologizing. And they say, where have you been for the past few hours? There's a monster that's attacking. She has no recollection of it. Basically, whatever she does, any physical movement she does, this monster does. So she takes a mile walk in one direction, this monster is going to walk that same distance. If she puts her hands up, the monster puts its hands up. And so I don't know what it's trying to do. It seems so unfocused, but it's got my interest. She does a little dance, and the monster does a little dance. She swipes at her hair to get it out of the way, and the monster swipes, and it kills a helicopter. And they're like, oh my god, it killed the helicopter. Yeah. She's like, oh my god, with the pilot in it? And they're like, yeah, he's dead. And so it seems like it's going to be a really big dark comedy in a way. Yeah. But there's no other information. Woman then controls monster without meaning to.
Wow.
That's it.
Yeah, I tried to gather, you know, a little bit of information with the same as you. Like, what the heck is going on? Well, I guess, I mean, Anne Hathaway is good with comedy a little bit, you know. She's pretty good at it, so
she's one of those all-around actresses, good in comedy, drama, whatever you put her in.
And latex.
Oh Catwoman.
Anyways, we're gonna jump to probably the most weirdest in a good way, the Bad Batch. And it's a really surreal kind of cast, and just the whole trailer, it's really stylish.
I don't know where you found this one.
Yeah, I don't know. It was, I was watching a film, actually it was a film website, a Mexican film website that I follow. It's this guy that I respect, and he's a cinema critic. And I was reading another article, and then, you know, one of the related whatever, the Bad Batch. Now I see the picture, like, who is this freaking, like, big ass
Cholo
Mexican? And then I click the photo and it enlarged, and it's like, oh my god, it's Jason Momoa with a big ass tattoo in the chest. And like, so it was so weird. It's like, all right, got my interest in. And then I hit the, you know, the play button, and actually, I watched the whole thing, and it's Keanu Reeves in there. What's this other guy? Jim Carrey's
in there? Your eagle eye picked out Jim Carrey. Again, not credited anywhere in this trailer.
No,
he's a homeless man pushing a cart, and who goes like, that's Jim Carrey.
You barely can see it.
What?
You need to watch it a few times too. Oh, yeah, I can now see the show. Diego Luna's in there.
Oh, there's your complimentary Diego Luna drop.
Not intended, but it's, you know, it's in there. So.
In watching this, I watched it right before we hit play here, and as odd as that all sounds, him pitching that to you, it looks really good.
Especially if you read the synopsis, it's supposed to be a woman is left on far of the limits of the desert of Texas. So what's happening to in so far of the limits of the Texas desert? And then you're like, what the fuck? It's like a, you know, a little city around something. So it's then, after that, and this girl get caught in a cannibal, like, society or something like that.
And it's so, living out in the desert.
Right. Like, it's no law there. Like, American law doesn't, you know,
think of international water laws.
Exactly. Almost like that, yep. It's like, fuck you, Trump. Your laws doesn't work.
It seems like there are two big people in there. One is Jason Momoa's character, and the other one is Keanu Reeves. Yep. Jason Momoa lives out amongst the desert people. Who carries around what you think is a gun, but he unhooks it, you know, from his little gun belt.
Machete.
It's a giant, and it's right by his breastplate. He's shirtless, by the way, this entire of course. Time.
He needs to be.
Undoes it to go to battle, and I'm like, he's going to pull out a gun. No, it's a giant machete.
But it looks really badass, and it works really well.
He pulled off the Cholo vibe way better than I thought he ever would have.
Yeah, I mean, just like he doesn't look, and if you don't know Jason Momoa, you're like, what the fuck is this guy? Like, you know, which actor?
He's super deceiving.
With the mustache and,
Keanu Reeves also has a mustache.
He looks like Pablo Escobar a little bit.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
I was thinking like, I forget the name, Jason Mora or something, the actor. Like, oh, that guy is also in the movie. No, it was Keanu Reeves. So it seems interesting, really stylish. You know, the music is different too.
No, but I liked it though.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
And supposedly this guy, actually it's a girl, who's a woman director, which I like that idea. And she has her other big movie, well, her first movie is about vampires, so I'm going to later go and watch because, you know.
So you know he's a sucker for vampire movies. Stupid
Twilight, I can watch whatever.
No, I hear you like Twilight. Your werewolves and your vampires.
There you go. Especially sparkle, shirtless sparkle. Werewolves and stupid shiny vampires. Anyways, if you like it, it's fine. I don't have nothing against people who like it, but not me. But yeah, that's the one that so far got my attention a lot. And then from there, we're going to jump to Aftermath, which Arnold Schwarzenegger, which has been an interesting. The only movie that I like of Schwarzenegger is Terminator, and who doesn't like it?
Yeah. You know? Right.
But with this one, and it was another one, zombie one, Maggie, I think it was.
Yeah, Maggie.
I didn't watch it yet, but it's my waiting list there to watch. But he seems like he's kind of doing a great job going back to trying. Because he's, let's face it, he was just a big guy, has some charm, a funny accent, and he could portray badasses guys. You know,
right?
See, that's his career look, but this one seems like it kind of like his range actor is pushed a little bit more. And I like when he can keep doing whatever, like Stallone with Spendables, doing the same thing. And he's like, you know what? You know, I'm gonna go and try actually acting for real a little bit.
At least just to try, yeah. But it was in the same vein as like a Taken.
Yeah, it has that vibe. Like, I think her daughter is either killed or kidnapped. You know, what a surprise. No, actually, this is the reason I put it here. It gives me that vibe of The Prisoners. Because it's supposed to be her daughter, now I remember. The daughter dies in an airplane crash. And apparently, it's because what's the name of those guys that are in the towers? I forget.
What towers?
On the airports, giving all the instructions to, you know.
Oh, air traffic control.
Some of the guys get distracted, and then these two planes, you know, crash.
Yeah.
So he, after a few times, he eventually knows which guy was, and he starts stalking this guy. You know, pretty much. I mean, it doesn't show in the trailer, but pretty much you can say they. Pretty much is hunting this guy. So it's kind of interesting. It's a lot of tension. And again, it reminds me of Prisoners. Mm. That kind of vibe and tense. So it seems like it's a good try. And the last one, and this is a TV show, Stranger Things, which it was a really fast trailer. Just give you
I think it was 30 seconds.
Yep.
And you know what? I don't blame it for being 30 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, it was the Super Bowl too. Spot. You can't go really long.
But again, for a show like that, just in case you guys don't know, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you watched it, your only question is, you know, where is Eleven?
Pretty much.
The girl. And so it shows that she's around and that everything they built up in the first season comes back, but it's still in play. So the world of Upside Down.
Yeah.
And then there's a giant sky creature now.
Kind of like Hellboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I liked it because it gave me chills just watching it.
Yeah.
Because, again, that was one of my highlights from the first season was the actual creature.
Right, right.
When they didn't show it, when it was just stalking the kids. That was creepy as hell.
Yeah.
And so for something else to come up after it to be just as intimidating, if not more, I'm in.
Yeah, and then I think it's going to just go bigger in scale because you're saying this. I mean, it's the freaking sky and it's like this big monster moving around.
If you haven't seen it, but you've seen season one, I strongly encourage you go see this because it's really well done. It has a lot of cultural references like the Ghostbusters at Halloween.
Yep.
That was good.
And it has sense because I think it's set around that time when Ghostbuster came.
Yeah.
So probably it's implied that, you know.
Yeah, the kids have just seen it over the summer. I'm interested to see how the four boys interact because we only got the three boys plus 11 for the majority of last season. Now all four boys are reunited. Again, spoilers.
Right.
All four boys are reunited and then...
And one of the kids still has that link with the you know...
With 11?
No, with the upside down. Remember that scene with the family Christmas?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot of questions unanswered.
Right, which was my biggest gripe from season one was we didn't know if we were getting a season two.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was thinking that a lot of these questions would be answered and the season just ends and
just right there.
So again, I'm glad.
Right. Well, we're almost at the end, but I'm just gonna throw a plus because I'm a big sucker of Samurai Jack. You ever watched the cartoon?
I did when I was younger. I fell off like around...
It took a long time to make the other season. I think they just won. They just stopped a long time and then slowly start coming again.
It was... I think they did up to four and then they just stopped. I think the viewers were really dropping. I know they took like a year or half a year off in between certain seasons because it was super slow. And But its fan base was really, really passionate.
It just... I recently started watching again. I watched, I think, the one or two season, and then somebody's a friend of mine, like, dude, look at this shit. They're like the season five, and like, what? They're five seasons already? And I watched the trailer, and like, oh my god, this is like a well made movie made on a cartoon. That's the best way I can put it.
And I know that people who did love Samurai Jack love this story, and they called it one of the biggest crimes, which was to end it without any resolution whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that was the whole point of the show, was for this character to get vengeance or to get justice. And then it ends.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that it's coming back. I think I'll give it a full watch through when this is done.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll just binge it like I do everything else.
Yeah.
I'm horrible at waiting.
Yeah. And I think the... thing is exciting about this, they're going really full. I mean, the cartoons already have a tone, like kind of really mature tone, but here explicitly you see limbs and blood and this guy losing his mind, because if you didn't watch it, spoiler again, but the main point is this Samurai Jack is a prince for like a big Japanese empire, and it's a demon called Aku, which tried to, you know, conquer the world. He's almost stopped it with his magic sword, and the bitch Aku at the last time opened a portal on time and then sent him in the future, where obviously Aku's not stopping now as the ruler. But it has a really mix of art in it, you know, like you see all this kind of like CGI sci-fi kind of genre, and then Western, and you know,
mixed in with, you know, Japanese culture and samurai culture.
Exactly. See, you hear that description, it's like you almost want to go and jump and watch. So that's the bonus on this episode. But so far, that's to cut up with all the craziness and movies and stuff. Again, we appreciate that you listen to this podcast. We're going to have more guests in the future. We'll start lining it up. It seems like they're interested. And I like that kind of the junkie guest, because then we have, you know, to know somebody actually doing the work that we talk all the time.
Right, yeah, because all we get to consume is the finished product without seeing the hundreds upon hundreds and thousands of man hours that go into making these things.
Yeah.
So enjoyable for the rest of us mere mortals.
And they have a different point of view than, you know, you and I.
Yeah.
So that's always great. And it's not always going to be, you know, somebody involved in the industry. We're, you know, going to, you know, we're invite our wives to.
Oh, yeah.
To have a different point of view, and it's always entertaining. But
let us know if you ever want to be a junkie guest, and we'll be happy to get you on.
If you're around North County. North County, preferable. I mean, San Diego still. Even LA. And even... unless you want to do the trip.
You can come down to us if you're in LA.
Yeah. But let us know. If you're one of the listeners, you're around our area, let's talk to us, communicate, and we definitely can... You know, invite people on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. And even if you are far away, just let us know. We'll hook you up with a Skype call.
Yeah, we can try something.
Got any recommendations?
There you go. Watching? That's a tough one. But I think you have a few, so go first.
No problem. Yeah. So my recommendation right now, I just finished watching The People versus O.J. Simpson, which finished. I had heard a ton of buzz while it was airing. But me being the horrible person that I am, I'm not waiting. It was super super satisfying to watch all 10 episodes in less than...
Enjoy that time, Chris. 30 Once you hours. Have kids, you I can know. Do that. You can't do
that.
So have fun. I mean, I don't complain about my kid, but, you know, that's when those little things like, oh, now I understand what my parents say when, you know, you don't have time anymore. So.
Yeah. But yeah, no, yeah, you're right. Enjoy the 30-hour binges with my wife while I can. Because it's not like she's somewhere else. She enjoyed it, too.
There you go. That's cool.
I enjoyed the acting more than anything because it's hard, especially with O.J. Simpson, where you kind of know the outcome of this story. Mm-hmm. I was probably 7 when the whole O.J. incident happened. I remember bits and pieces of my parents actually watching it happen live. I remember the Bronco chase live. Yeah. My dad was watching that. I remember the verdict when it was announced. Yeah. But again, as a kid, you don't really comprehend a lot.
No, definitely.
It was kind of cool to watch a dramatization of everything unfold. Right. And what I liked is that the show gave you both sides. It didn't just demonize O.J. Simpson. It didn't just put the people on a pedestal for, you know, being the ones to accuse OJ of the double homicide.
Gotcha.
It showed everybody's strengths and weaknesses. Because there were points where I felt really bad for OJ mentally.
Yeah.
I could see a lot of things with Cuba Gooding Jr.'s performance. I could see that he was mentally struggling with a lot in his head. And it's clearly proven since he went back to jail for stealing memorabilia back in 2009 or 2008. Yeah. But no, it was really good. So that was my recommendation for a show.
Show or film. What about games? Or even if you don't play it, but something that you see recently coming up or something like that.
Okay, so we've been talking about this one, at least I have for a little bit.
Yeah.
Mass Effect comes out next month. And
saving.
Actually, I have enough. I had got quite the gift cards for Microsoft. I have enough in there. Now it's convincing my wife to let me spend my own Microsoft money on pre-ordering it. Yeah. But it's definitely one that I'm super looking forward to. I've loved the series.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to play on this next console generation. Nice. Level one.
So on what about Switch. You? Yeah, no, you wish. You wish.
Oh, my God.
I don't think so. Anyways. Now, if you're going to buy the Switch, cool. If you're going to go make the line a Target or Best Buy, cool, it's fine. But yeah.
Again, even if the Switch is amazing, I'm still probably going to buy it maybe a year or two after it comes out if it's amazing.
Yeah. Nah, I'm going to wait for the, now we have the new Tegra, whatever number, chip, and it's faster and better, and whoever buying the launch are screwed up.
Whoever bought the Switch at launch, you're done.
Yeah. But anyways, we're nice people. We're just getting older. My grandpa used to say that the only good thing that getting older is you can send everybody to fuck themselves because you're older and nobody's going to tell you anything back, you know?
More life lessons by Hugo. He's life dropping lessons. Things. That's what we're going to call them from now on when you make these wonderful analogies or phrases.
Well, it wasn't mine. That props from my
but
grandpa.
But it's from the Mesa family tree.
Yeah. I forget what's the other one, but I'm going to remember to the next one. Anyways, for me, I start watching Samurai Jack again. If you're not really into cartoon, then a boy it totally. But if you want to watch a more mature, more interesting cartoon. Definitely for grown-up people. Samurai Jack. I'm re-watching and revisiting it. It's like, oh yeah, I forget how well and how good it is. Even the voice acting and everything. So that will be my recommendation for video games. I will say Zero Down or whatever.
Event Horizon. Mm-hmm. Zero Dawn.
It seems really cool. It seems the premise and the whole thing. I mean, these days, whatever it comes on video is so amazing. I don't know if you agree. I mean, from, you know, where we come for all the way from Pac-Man and Pong to these days.
I was super sad that that game is a PlayStation exclusive.
Yep.
Such a waste.
Yep. But yeah, those are my recommendations for this episode. You know, keep clean, keep nice, keep neat. Smile to people when you walk around, you know, in your street. Be positive. Don't buy the Nintendo Switch.
Don't buy the Nintendo Switch and have a lot of sex.
Have lots. Believe me, that's a good relief in your life. And if you don't want, you don't have a partner, well, you always have your limbs around you.
Just in case you're wondering, that was Hugo's sign-off for last week, in case that came out of the blue. That was Hugo's sign-off.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a little bit, for the most part, we're joking here. Don't take, you know, things really personal. We, at least, not, it's not our intention. We're just two guys having fun.
Right.
That's it. And if at some point I make a mistake and you feel offended, just let us know and believe me. I'm capable of knowledge.
Taking the criticism.
Yeah. So, have a lot of sex again. Take a shower before that. Don't be lazy. Oh,
this is gonna build into a giant story. Your sign off. No. Every week, add a new line.
No, it's all right. We see you in the next episode, number 13. We're getting close to the 100. I'm so excited.
It's gonna be great. We have a few ideas for what's coming next. So please stay with us.
We're not earning any money or anything out of this, but we have fun and we enjoy, and hopefully our mission is that you enjoy just listening to these two dumb guys talking dumb things.
Yeah.
All right. Have fun. Adios.
Bye, guys.